The ponderosa pine is Montana's state tree. It is a magnificent conifer with long, well-ordered needles. Recently, hail damage and disease have challenged ponderosa pine in the Flathead area. Come along with FVCC's Christina Relier as we talk about a new project to find out more about this towering monarch. Hi, and welcome to the FVCC Nature Journal, the podcast for everyone who loves nature. We are coming to you from the beautiful campus of Flathead Valley Community College at the foot of the Swan Mountain Range of northwest Montana. I'm John Fraley, longtime instructor in wildlife conservation here at the college, and I also served 40 years with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Our producer is the talented Colin Burkhart, and thanks to Morgan LeRae, the library director, for offering the library as our podcast home. So today we're going to talk about Pinus ponderosa, the commonly known as a ponderosa pine. And of course, it's our state tree. A lot of people call it the yellow pine. And it's actually the most widely distributed pine species in North America. And today we're welcoming FVCC Natural Resources Professor Christina Relier to talk about some recent challenges. Hi, Christina.
Hello, John.
So tell us about this whole issue that ponderosa pine are kind of stressed right now.
Well, right now in the valley, people, your listeners may have noticed that a lot of the ponderosa pines are having more brown needles than usual. And this is a noticeable problem down in Big Fork. And so I live down that way. So I was looking last summer and noticed that the trees had turned, the needles had turned brown very rapidly in a short period of time. And so I called one of our other natural resource instructors, Tim Eichner, to see if he had noticed the same thing. And he did. And so we kind of set about trying to find out what was causing that.
And what you found was that it might have been related to the hailstorm, right? At least in part.
Right. On July 9th last summer, there was a very large hailstorm. It actually is one of the most expensive hailstorms in property damage in Flathead County that we've had on record. And we had about 2-inch size hail that came down in Big Fork, and it damaged the houses, the trees, all kinds of things. And so that stressed the trees. We also believe that they were already water stressed from a few years of drier summers than normal. And so when you add kind of basically being thirsty with getting hit with hail, then we knew it wouldn't be too long before a lot of the diseases and insects might come in and impact those trees.
Now, the pea pine is pretty drought resistant, though, isn't it? I mean, it seems like it lives in dry habitats.
It does, John. It lives in drier climates to begin with, but even so, it can be water stressed where it's not producing as much sap that could be used, for instance, to pitch out a bark beetle attack. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we have seen then is that we do have a lot of beetle infestations that were going on at this time, and the trees were not able to successfully defend themselves. Because if you think about it, beetles and trees have been out there for a really long time. And some years it's good for the trees, and some years it's good for the beetles. But I would have to say, John, that this last summer it was better for the beetles.
And tell us now, how does the hail actually harm the tree and make it more susceptible?
What it does is it creates just small wounds. So if you think about on a human, like you have your skin is protecting basically your insides, and you can get small like cracks and things like that that you might not even notice, but that it would allow a pathogen to come in. And so one of the other things that happened in these trees, John, is that there's a fungus called Diplodia. It's pine shoot blight. And that actually is out there in the soil all the time anyway. But when you get all these cuts then from the hail, basically, then those spores can actually infect the tree. And so we are finding trees that have beetle damage, that have pine shoot blight damage, which is caused by that fungus. And so it's kind of like a 1-2-3 punch, and that's what we've seen happen.
So how are you going to use satellite imagery then to help in this study? I understand you're going to look at the distribution of these damaged trees using satellites.
Yeah, so what we did is we actually were able to acquire satellite imagery of the area just north of the lake, and we have that data before the hailstorm. Then we have the data right after the hailstorm. There's a vegetation index. I won't go into all the math on that one, but basically we can look at the reflectance values from the vegetation, and we can tell healthy vegetation from unhealthy. And one of the thoughts is you also have to ground truth, right? And so we were able to design a research project for our natural resource and forestry students where we're going to go out and correlate what we see on the ground with the imagery that we're seeing from satellites. We're also going to employ some drone imagery as well, but we're hoping to develop an index of health for these trees and then follow them over time. We think some will recover, but then some that have beetles and pine shoot blight, it may not look so good.
So how many students will be involved in this project? It's basically going to be like a mini graduate project almost. You're going to have students that are studying a particular item, and then they're going to try to put together, I assume, a final report and maybe this product of a way to monitor and continuing as we go on.
Great. So right now we have 5 students, and then we have 3 faculty. So I had mentioned Tim Meichner, but we also have Diane Whited, who works at the Flathead Lake Biological Station as a researcher down there. And our students then will get to work basically from disease vector isolation. We're going to try to isolate the Diplodia fungus all the way to satellite imagery. It's a pretty expansive project.
How do you isolate the fungus? I mean, how do you actually go about doing that?
Well, we've got to go out there and collect cones and leaves that have, they're called pycnidia. They're these sporulating structures that look like black dots. So you could pick up a pine cone and turn it upside down and look for black dots on the scales, the cone scales. We have to get them before they hit the ground, because once they're on the ground, then there's all kinds of other fungi that are down there hanging out. And so we'll be collecting cones, and also this fungus can be on the needles while they're still on the tree and when they're sporulating, and then we'll bring it back to the lab. And we're hoping to, there's some different strains of Diplodia, and one's more aggressive to ponderosa pines, and one is more native to this area that's not as aggressive. And we're getting reports on both of those in the state, and so we're hoping to isolate which one we have as well.
And we had talked a little bit before the show about the pine butterfly and whether or not we have an infestation of them around here. But you guys would probably notice that if you're going to be out studying these trees that closely.
Yeah, and you know, they in the bitterroot, they did have a pine butterfly outbreak in the past around here. I know we've seen them on Wild Horse Island, but not in huge numbers that I'm aware of right now. But there, I do see them almost every summer, a few of them up at the tops of pines.
Yeah, I saw some huge infestations or emergences of them in 2018. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And they eat the needle. They defoliate.
They do. That's the caterpillar. Yeah, and the Malheur National Forest in Oregon had one of the largest outbreaks on record not too long ago, and then some of that spilled over into the bitterroot region as well.
Now, will these students, will they enroll in the college? Will this be like a class, or is this a non-graduate project?
No, actually, they get undergraduate research credit for working on this project this semester. And then in the future, we're actually incorporating this because we see this as being a long-term, like once we're done looking at the pines in Big Fork, we're going to move to different areas in the valley. And so we'll incorporate this into one of the courses in the natural resource program.
Let me ask you about this incredible grove of ponderosas we have here along the Stillwater River on campus. You said that you were seeing some problems in a few of those trees too.
Yes, there's quite a lot of beetles down there as well. And so that's something that we'll be watching. The last summer was a good summer for beetles. And so that is an older grove, but it's pretty much the trees are the same age. And so there is some beetle infestation that's occurring down there right now as well.
And when will this all start, Christina?
Well, we've already started this semester on, we're getting permission from landowners. We're acquiring the satellite imagery. We actually have a satellite that'll be trained this July so that we have a year-to-year comparison and look at how that vegetation has trained in 1 year. The one thing I would say, though, John, is that people shouldn't rush out and cut down their ponderosa pine, because sometimes they may not look good, but they're still going to be fine, right? That tree maybe has been there 60 or 80 years and has had diseases before. So, you know, I would either, you know, check and make sure, but just because it looks bad doesn't mean that it's not going to recover. Yeah. Pines can, you know, grow new needles when the needles have either been defoliated or infected with a fungus.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Like, I have a small ponderosa pine in my backyard just turning brown. Now I got to go look and see what is actually causing it to turn brown. If I can see the beetle or the or any kind of other.
Yeah, and one of the things you could do is just check one bud, like cut open one of the buds and see if it looks fresh and that it's going to be growing this year, or if you already have green needles coming out for this year's growth. A ponderosa keeps, you know, about 3 years of needles, and then they drop the older needles.
Oh, okay.
So there should be some brown needles every year anyway. But if the ones,
right,
the new growth is brown, then that could mean that you have a fungal infection.
Yeah, you start getting nervous when it looks like it's more brown than our green. You know,
yeah.
That's what I noticed.
No,
on
I know. It's
smaller
true.
One, but.
Yep.
So do you want people to contact you or contact the FEC in any way if they see larger ponderosas that appear to be more mortality?
Well, yeah, right now we're working in the Big Fork area, and so we'll be doing some presentations for the community. And I'm really glad you asked this. We actually are going to have, our students are developing an app for your cell phone that will allow a property owner to send in information about their ponderosa pines, and then we'll be collecting that in real time. So as soon as the citizen pushes submit, then we get that information, and we should be able to track the survival and the incidents and which pathogen is causing the problems in the valley as we go into the future.
And if, you know, just a couple of fun things about ponderosa pines, if you, on a nice hot day when the sun's beating down on that pine, and you go up and you put your nose right up to the trunk and smell it, what does it smell like, Christina?
It smells like vanilla.
That's right. And the Native Americans used to use the cambium off the ponderosa. You can see that in the bob where you still see it, where they cut that bark off and getting at the cambium.
Yeah.
Well, Christina Relier, thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, John.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the Nature Journal. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fraley. I'll see you next time.